When the rabbit of chaos is pursued by the ferret of disorder through the fields of anarchy, it is time to hang your pants on the hook of darkness, whether they're clean or not. Spice World, 1998. You're listening to the Veritas Radio Network, Crusade Channel. I'm your host, Gregory Carpenter, and this is Reverse Deception Radio. Our guest today on Reverse Deception Radio is Rich Russell, a retired Defense Intelligence Senior Executive who served for many years in the Chief Information Officer's office in the Defense Department, and is now put himself into a position where he is a consultant with many companies, including one, Catapult. What is it, Catapult?
Catapult Consultants, LLC in Arlington.
In Arlington, Virginia. Right. Rich, welcome to the show.
Hey, no, thanks very much. I was with the DNI CIO.
The DNI CIO. No, see that?
IC CIO. I don't know if those DOD guys would claim me. I know most of them, but if I see them in restaurants, they kind of quickly turn the other way.
They don't want to chat with you, huh? Right. So the Defense, the Directorate of National Intelligence CIO Office. There we right. go. Got that straight now.
Okay.
Welcome to the gates outside of Mordor on the Potomac today.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming up and having a visit with us here. We're going to talk about some emerging technologies and things that people probably don't know about. And if you have a small business or if you work as a government contractor somewhere or if you're in the government, you might want to know about these types of things because they're going to help you get your job done. They're going to help you maintain compliance with things that you're supposed to be doing. It's usually just an all-around good thing when Rich comes around and talks about technologies like this because he's pretty wired into the emerging technologies world. So, Rich, what'd you bring for us today? What's the first thought that you have on your mind?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, Greg. It's great to see you again. One of the things I did in the government was provided technical advice to emerging companies in the technology industry, particularly with cutting-edge technologies that could really make a difference in how we could do the business that we did
right
in the government. But, you know, as all the different things have happened in the cyber arena, the government has struggled with what they're going to do to develop compliance with some fundamental things that could help in the cyber arena. You know, you may remember that years ago, the Department of Defense came up with some guidelines for cleared defense contractors about how to better protect their networks and protect information. And so DOD has now changed that from guidelines and nice-to-haves to something that's going to be required for those cleared defense contractors.
A mandate. Right? Is it an unfunded mandate again?
Oh, absolutely.
Very good.
But that's the way we do business, right?
Sure, absolutely.
If the government keeps borrowing money, then we'll eventually not be able to govern, and so we're in a position where they say, well, to keep from borrowing money, we'll just demand that people do things without any funds to pay for it.
I need money.
but in any event, in addition to that, the recent memo out of OPM, you may recall, says, hey, all the government agencies have to do things like comply with vulnerability analysis of their systems and networks by 1 April.
Right, that's everything. The servers and everything.
Right. Now, I personally, this is my own personal opinion, I don't think people are going to meet that deadline, mm-hmm. but certainly at least the government had the forethought to make the deadline the 1st of April so that those who do report that they've taken care of everything, they'll be doing it on April Fool's Day.
A good, valid report indeed.
Right, right. But, you know, so the conundrum that most organizations face is threefold. Number one, what is it that I can do to comply with this new policy?
Right.
Number two, it's not clear, really, who are the gatekeepers that are going to be able to say, yeah, you complied with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's still being kind of debated and worked out.
So they don't know if it's going to be NSA or the DOD CIO or...
Or whomever.
Whomever.
Or, you know, is it going to be DHS's cybersecurity mm-hmm. for rest of government, et cetera? And so...
I wonder if the FCC will have a hand in that.
Right. Well, I mean, it certainly could be possible, but I just think that those are some of the things that there'll be a lot of discussion about in the weeks and months to come.
Sure.
But the most immediate problem for most organizations, whether they be a government entity or whether they're some kind of contractor that does work for the government, whether that's with DOD as a clear defense contractor or just a contractor who has a cage code, no facility clearance, etc. Okay, the government says, I got to do vulnerability analysis. What the heck is that?
Well, yeah, what is that?
How do I get started, right?
What does that mean to do a vulnerability analysis? Most right. people don't even know what that is.
Right.
You know, well, so when they get into that business, the first thing they think of is, okay, do I have a virus on my computer?
Right.
Well, the short answer is, well, that's only part of a vulnerability analysis. It deals with configuration of how the system's set up, where they're set up at, how they connect to the internet, where the ISP is, and how you engage in that, and how you send and receive not only emails, but all different types of traffic.
Right, right. And you know, again, Rich Russell's personal view from all the years I've spent in this business. I don't even know how to tell you about how many companies you talk to, and they think, well, we've got a great firewall. you know, so everything depends on that. No. That's not the secret.
And that's right.
And it's not going to save you. So, but yeah, so vulnerability analysis, you know, ultimately when anybody goes into, whether you go out and buy a package of software or whether you actually have the people, the resources to develop a software application, most of the time when you do that, you pull from DLLs and other things that you use to build the lines of code that create right. the software application.
Right.
And so there are tools available, have been for some time, where I can scan something on my computer to see whether or not there's some kind of malware or something.
Right.
But ultimately, those things operate at that software application level, at the operating system level. But what you really have to do in order to make sure that you're able to do this, to meet the compliance that's required by these new policies and regulations, is you need to be doing vulnerability analysis at the ones and zeros level,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right, and there's no one doing that.
Ah, but alas, there is a company that has a patent-pending technology. It's called Assured DKV.
Okay.
Assured is a company out of San Antonio, Texas, that, or actually I think it's Round Rock, where Dell and
Round Rock, sure. Yeah, right.
Put down that.
So, just north of Austin.
Yeah, they have an office over in,
outside of the thriving metropolis of Pflugerville.
That's right. That's right. You're absolutely right. I have a friend that drives his UTV around out there all the time. But in any event, this company also, they have an office here in Tysons, and of course they're available wherever somebody wants. But Assured DKV, what does it do? It does a root vulnerability analysis at the ones and zeros level. It produces a prioritized listing for you of the vulnerabilities it finds.
Hmm.
And that listing kind of parses things into three categories. The things you need to do something about right now.
Right.
The things that you need to do something about. And then all the other stuff that get to it if you ever care.
When you get a chance to, sure.
Right.
Now, what we're talking about is at the ones and zeros level, we're talking about root access. So this is when you start your computer up, you have what's called firmware embedded on your hard drive. And those are the essential programs that are embedded in the hard drive that start the computer and bring up the very basic interfaces that you see on the computer before you load your Microsoft Windows or something like that, before you see Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 9, any of those types of things. And God forbid you should have Windows 10. This is at a very, very basic level of where the computer operates. This is down underneath everything else. So when you hear someone talking about a rootkit, or they have root access, this is the very basic level of computer operations.
Right. And so this goes from that level all the way through those software applications that are resident on your computer
mm-hmm.
or on your network to produce these vulnerability listings. I think a good example would be they ran this capability against a very well-known commercially available software capability.
Okay.
So how many known vulnerabilities do you think came up on that? on that little run against one computer.
I can't even imagine.
Over 3,000. Right? And this, so when you go and buy a software package,
right,
to go on your network or go on the systems that you use in your company, you cannot assume that they did all the right kind of things to look at the known vulnerabilities to give you a package of software that, when applied to your system, is not going to introduce vulnerabilities that are going to make you highly susceptible. And so,
well, they're in the selling you know, that's their job, is to sell stuff. They're not really in the massive security, because they don't think that the average person needs such a high level of security. What they're doing is marketing, and they're selling, and they're making a profit.
Right.
And in case you're just joining us, this is Greg Carpenter, your host on Reverse Deception Radio on the Veritas Radio Network. Today I'm speaking with Rich Russell, a retired defense intelligence executive who worked for the CIO in the intelligence office for about how many years? About 1,000 or so?
Yeah. Well, time flies when you're having fun, so yeah.
Absolutely.
So from about when I left Homeland Security, I went over there, and that was 2006, April 2006.
Okay.
Till this past January, so.
Right.
A few years.
Just a few years.
Yeah, the ICCIO. Ran Intel Link for about 3 years.
Oh, sure.
So, but anyway, and but yeah, so sure. I mean, ultimately, the whole issue around vulnerability analysis for companies is, you either are a big company and you have enough IT staff and everything like that that you can, like, handle this.
Right.
But you still need a capability that'll provide your people with the tool to do it. Or you may be a mid-sized company or a small company, and you really don't have the technical skills within your company to do this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Assured is able to do is not only do that root analysis, and they can provide you everything from being, here's the tool, to here's a technical advisor that will help your staff do the things they need to do, to being available to help you work through the whole corrective process that you need to do to make your systems, to get rid of those vulnerabilities. So that's, you know, and I mean, it's a, like I said, it's a patent pending technology.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the market today, and it's one of those things that I think is really going to make a difference for people that have to adhere to all these new rules and regulations and meet and show that they've made a good faith effort toward the due diligence required, right?
That's right. Yeah, if you don't do that good faith effort, forget it.
Right, right. So ultimately, that's a very interesting technology that I've seen among others.
It is pretty interesting when you think that there's finally something that looks at root access into a computer or into a network. Most of the software that's commercially available for even folks just at home is your antivirus, your anti-spyware, your standard firewalls. Your Windows Defender, I believe, got a 3 out of 10 rating in PC Magazine just last month, which is just horrific,
right,
when you consider, you know, all of the hype that goes into something like that. And it's not even protecting you at the very basic level of a system where you need to be protected at the most. It's
right.
Completely ignored.
Right. And so, you know, and I mean, frankly, most of the opportunities for people to steal information from your computer, hack you, whatever you want to call it, you know, that all comes from those vulnerabilities. There are probably vulnerabilities that have not yet been identified. There are probably vulnerabilities that are not, quote unquote, known vulnerabilities at this moment.
Right.
But ultimately, there's this wide-ranging set of known vulnerabilities, and you ought to at least check. So, I mean, I think there's really three things you have to take a look at. Like we just discussed, it may be that you have a computer system and you're doing business with the government, or you have a computer system and you're doing business with the general public, and you want to make sure that you've done the right thing to make sure you're protecting your systems,
right,
or that you know what the problems are. And so that's one reason to go take a look at that. Check
sure.
the software and the components of the system that you have,
mm-hmm,
to make sure that you know if there's something there that needs to be corrected. Then, of course, maybe you're a CIO or a CTO in some kind of company or a government agency, and you've had software delivered to you, or you've had an application developed for use in your organization. When, you know, and they deliver it to you, and they say the same thing the big company does that sells you a software package for your home computer. Hey, yeah, we checked it. Everything's fine.
Everything's just fine. So, nothing to see here, Pilgrim. Move along.
Right. So with what I would call a very simple, cheap evaluation, you can actually see, A, what vulnerabilities are in the current technology you have in your organization, and B, when you get in a new set of software, a new application, newly developed product, you can take a look at it and see if it's going to introduce known vulnerabilities that something should have been done about.
Right, that you shouldn't be introducing in the first place.
Exactly, right? And then last but not least, let's just say that you do software development.
Right.
For private companies, the government, whoever. Well, it would probably be a great thing to introduce into your quality control to run a product like that against your capability to say, I know I've covered all the known vulnerabilities in this application. Because as you pull DLLs and other things, build this application, it's just too easy to have copied something in that somebody didn't check everything on. So you now have put something in there by copy that has introduced a vulnerability or reintroduced one.
And sometimes you have a situation where if you've done an upgrade to, let's say, God forbid, Windows 10 from Windows 7 or Windows 8 or something like that, one of those DLLs that's not used anymore.
Right.
Or some folks just, maybe you just need to understand that it's just a file on your system that used to be used by Windows 7 or Windows 8, and it's not used by Windows 10 anymore. That could be harboring the virus. That could be harboring the malware that you don't see. But this type of a product would be able to identify that type of a vulnerability or a threat to your system.
Right. No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And so thinking about it from the quality control perspective, if you're in the software applications development business, you want to look, check and do the quality controls as you're developing, provide a high quality product to the customer that you're serving.
Mm-hmm.
You want to check it along the steps along the path, and then right before you go to deliver it to the customer, right? Just a final check. So you can do all those things with this one product, not expensive to use. But in addition to that, let's just say you provided applications to customers over the last year or two.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I don't know. Would you want to go back and check those? Just because you might find vulnerabilities that you could then go do something about for the customer, both to make a little money for your company, number one, and number two, to cover your bases so that you don't have something happen with a customer that tracks back to the application you developed because you introduced a known vulnerability into that technology. So in all of those ways, it's really...
That's
it's
pretty cool really technology.
Yeah. And ultimately, there are many other technologies out there. Another very, very interesting one to me is one called Cyber Deadbolt. Cyber Deadbolt. And it's actually...
kind of like locking your gate or locking my safe.
Well, no, if you really think about it, right? When you go in your house at night and you're going to get ready to go to bed, what do? Well, you lock the deadbolt on the front door, right?
Absolutely.
So, but what Cyber Deadbolt does, it's a small company out of California, has a patent-pending technology. But fundamentally, every single kind of account you have, whether that be a bank account, online buying account, email account, or something else like that, everywhere you could use a login and password, imagine that you could either from your laptop, iPad, desktop, or smartphone, with a simple transaction, you could lock every single one of those accounts down. And nobody could get into any of those accounts until you do the protocol to put it back into operation.
That's a pretty pretty durable type of a technology.
Oh, yeah.
Something that could be used from wherever you need to access it from and protects your credit cards, all your bank accounts and everything.
Oh, absolutely. Right. And so if you think about it, here's one of the things probably virtually nobody thinks about is when I go to bed at night, I lock up my doors and whatever and things. But what do I do with my Wi-Fi? Do I turn my Wi-Fi off? Do I unplug it? What do I do? So is somebody getting into my computer at night, remotely turning it on, rifling through the contents of the computer, et cetera? And this cyber deadbolt product will actually lock down your system, right? So when you go to bed, you can actually set it up, right? I know I'm not going to use my computer from 10 p.m. at night till 6 in the morning.
Okay.
Right? You can set that up on this product so it does it automatically. You don't have to go do it every day.
Wow.
It locks it all down at a specific time, right?
So even as Alzheimer's creeps up on me, I wouldn't have to worry about anything like that in the future. It'll just automatically lock down my Wi-Fi and keep it safe.
Right. So, and the application keeps track of all your logins and passwords for you. And the system is built in such a way that even if somebody hacked them, they're not going to get your logins and passwords and other information that could do something to help someone steal your identity. But that's so, just... You know.
So I've got a great use case scenario for this. As a matter of fact, what I'm showing Rich right now in the studio here is a credit card. You can see that. Just grab that for a second. Just tell me. That's a credit card, right?
Right.
So I made that on a 3D printer. That's completely 100% fake.
Right.
Including the chip.
Right.
That I got offline. Okay.
Right. Well, you know, we actually did some red teaming. You'll remember the days when we both worked with Army Materiel Command.
Sure.
We ran some tests, and one of the things we did, if you'll remember, was created fake CAT card.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
So, like, if a person working on this red team effort went up to the gate to try to get onto the installation, and they didn't have any form of CAT card or military ID, they were successful getting through the gate and onto the base 1 out of 4 times.
Right. Now, what we're talking about here is the common access card used by the Defense Department. And several other of the federal agencies use this type of an identification, too. It's got a secure chip in it. Many people have seen these types of things in the credit card, just like the one I just showed Rich here. But the Cyber Deadbolt program would be, or product, would be great in locking out somebody from using, because in some situations you need to actually have the credit card in your hand to run it,
right,
in order to use it. And in a situation where that credit card's been printed on a 3D printer, somebody will have, as a matter of fact, they'll have all the information that they need. They can put it into a credit card and they can use your credit card with the one that they made.
Right.
So with something like this, you'd be able to completely lock them out. And the same idea with the CACs.
Right.
You'd be able to lock them out.
Well, it's interesting that with a forged CAT card, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were successful 4 out of 4 times. Right?
You see? Yeah.
So like a fake CAT card, like that credit card you're talking about, they, you know, that has their photo on it.
Right.
But otherwise, totally a fabrication. They got onto the installation 4 out of 4 times. So, and so DOD is taking some steps to make it so that there's actually a positive thing where your card is scanned or looked at,
right,
and a picture comes up on the monitor for the guards. So,
and
they,
it's got a match.
It's the right picture, right?
That's right. You've been listening to Reverse Deception Radio here on the Veritas Radio Network. Our special guest today, Rich Russell. We'll be back after these words.
We're giving you 5 minutes to gather the Pentagon-sized pile of scales that's fallen from your eyes. Reverse Deception. We'll be right back on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.